This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Equity Minds.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is you can.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I am very good, Bryce. I am very excited. How could I not be? Life is good.
Okay.
Australian inflation, 6.9%, down from 7.3%. Ooh. Oil is where it was at the start of the year. Yeah. The cost of shipping is returning to pre-COVID levels. The ASX 200 is actually up for the past 12 months.
Yes.
It's actually up about 0.6%.
Resources.
And Australia is through to the round of 16 in the World Cup. Life is good. I am long. I am dangerously long. I am hopelessly long. I am courageously long, Bryce.
When are you never long, though?
I am... Well, I'm just long. I'm long Australia. I'm long the market. It's December. Life is good.
We had the NASDAQ rip almost 4% overnight as well, as Jerome Powell, the chairman of the US Federal Reserve, came out to say that he might be taking a little easy on the speed of which he increases interest rates in December. So time will only tell. But big episode today. We'll start with what we have learnt over the last week. The ASX share market game has finished and we've had some amazing results come in. So we're going to go through some of the portfolios of the winners to get a sense of what they were buying. And my goodness, is there an Australian theme? I bet you can guess which one it is. And then we're going to close out with a book bonanza, as always. Probably one of the last book bonanzas for the year as we approach December and our summer series. We've got bold predictions to review, Ren. We've got stock of the year to review. We've got a crypto update. We've got Andrew Brown in.
Yes, yes.
Oh my goodness, we've got some content to get through before the end of the year.
And then we have been working on our summer series, 12 company deep dives, and we've got 12 experts also joining us to talk about those companies. It's going to be epic.
What a slate of content we have coming up. But let's start with what we've learned this week. Ren, shall I kick off?
Sure.
Well, I've had me and Mr. Philip Lowe have had a bit of a thing. The governor of the Reserve, the Reserve Bank of Australia, Philip Lowe. I'd say about when we're still at WeWork, so it would have been before August, maybe June or July, came out to say we weren't happy with...
You came out?
I came out to say I wasn't happy with the performance of the RBA, particularly the guidance that they'd given and how wrong they were when it came to the long-term view on interest rates. Well, did we have a change, not a U-turn, but he came out during the week, Philip Lowe, and apologised to all those people that had made a decision to take out a home loan based on his comments that interest rates wouldn't rise until 2024, which I thought was a pretty interesting thing to do.
No, he didn't actually apologize to people.
He said he regrets it.
No, he said, I'm sorry if people listened.
Well, same thing.
No, that's kind of like, I'm sorry you were offended.
He says, I'm sorry if people listened to what we'd said and then acted on it, what we said, and now regret what they have done. So that's regrettable. I'm sorry that that happened. I'm certainly sorry if people listened to what we'd said and then acted on it. It's like, mate.
Yeah.
What do you think people are going to do?
So I think there's a number of things here because I posted a meme about this on our Instagram earlier this week and it got hot.
Okay.
There were people commenting like, you guys should get out of this topic. You're losing whatever credibility you have left and stuff like that. And then on the other side, people were like criticizing Philip Lowe. And two things can be true at the same time. It can be true that you shouldn't make your home loan or your home purchasing decisions purely on what the governor of the RBA is forecasting. And it can also be true that Philip Lowe did a terrible job of communicating to the public. Like
yeah.
Those two things can both be true.
Yeah.
And it's like people got so hot under the collar either criticizing Philip Lowe or saying people shouldn't have borrowed based on what he said. But for me, it's like we can walk on chew gum at the same time here, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
I'm obviously just a bit defensive because people were vicious in the meme.
Don't read the comments, bro.
Oh, it hurts.
I just thought it was an interesting thing for him to say. It's like umpires coming out and say they got something wrong. It's a very soft way of him saying that we've got something wrong but not really going the full way. Some data was pulled by Alan Kohler to actually look at how many people did take out home loans between the moment he said interest rates won't rise until 2024 and the moment that he actually raised rates. 1.2 million home loans were taken out during that period. The unknown question is how many of those 1.2 were taken out because of the comments.
What's the alternative? Yeah.
Yeah. So what would it have been? Who knows? But 1.2 million home loans during that period.
Speaking of home loans, there's a really interesting dynamic that we're starting to notice play out, and it puts Australia, I guess, in contrast to some other parts of the world. Australia, variable rate home loans is the norm, and in the US, and I think in New Zealand, fixed rate home loans are the norm, but definitely in the US. And so Australians are getting, are feeling this mortgage pain. But what we're seeing in the US is the housing market dry up because no one wants to sell and have to, trade in their 2% mortgage for a 6% mortgage. And so it'll be really interesting to see how these interest rate rises affect the two housing markets differently.
Yeah, big time. Speaking of, and I know we're talking about housing a lot, but I also thought another interesting stat to put it all in perspective as well is NAB came out during the week and said that they expect that housing is likely to drop a further 18% on the bear case.
Okay.
Which would take it to be one of the most aggressive falls in house prices from its peak last November or whenever it was this year. Most aggressive fall in house prices in Australian history, not the most, but one of. That if that happened, it would bring house prices back to the long-term average.
Oh yeah. My god.
Yeah. So just puts into perspective the heights from which it was falling. And that's saying if it falls another sort of bearish 18% or so. So anyway, big week in housing, as always, big week in interest rates. We started with inflation, but what have you learnt, Ren?
Well, Bryce, our good friend Jeremy Grantham has come across my radar again, so I wanted to bring him to your attention. For people not familiar with Jeremy Grantham, he's a co-founder of GMO, a massive asset manager over in the US, maybe hundreds of billions.
$118 billion in 2015, so yeah. I don't know what the updated number is.
But yeah. GMO have released their forecast for seven-year returns.
Here we go.
Now, Bryce Lesky, what do you think Jeremy Grantham's forecast for US large caps is over the next 7 years?
Well, if there is ever one person to be called a perma-bear, it is Jeremy Grantham. This guy has the most negative outlook on markets. So the outlook for the next 7 years on US large caps, has got to be negative. It's got to be negative.
Well, I mean, keep in mind that we're down 20%. I don't think we've ever had a bad 7-year period after being down 20%.
Yeah, okay. I reckon in 7 years he reckons then we're going to be flat.
He reckons we'll be, so this is real, so adjusted for inflation, down 1% a year over the next 7 years.
Oh my gosh.
Which would be history breaking. But this guy can be a bear when no one else can be a bear.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, so I just want to, I thought, you know, every time Jeremy Grantham is negative.
Yeah.
If Jeremy Grantham's ever positive, we have to do a full episode on it.
Sure.
Celebrate.
Try and get him on.
Just, yeah.
We have asked. He said no, not surprising.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
But no, look, the main thing that I wanted to talk about, what I learned this week, is something that has been an eternal bit of frustration for us. And I'm going to look down the camera when I say this. ASX, I am talking to you. This has to change. So Stake, full credit to them, on their Australian Shares platform, they allow you to choose the way that you receive communications, by post or by email. So me being the paperwork-hating, environmentally conscious investor that I am, I chose by email. Hit confirm, and then look at what has come in the mail. And I've done the redacting so I can hold them up to the camera. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 letters confirming that I would rather receive communications by email rather than by post. 7 letters!
I know, it's ridiculous.
What the hell? And they all say the same thing. They just say, you've told us you would like to receive communications by email.
So here's the paperwork to prove
7.
It. So the petition
what
for no.
The hell?
So the Equity Mates petition for no paperwork starts now.
Change.org. We're going to put it in the show notes. ASX, the chess replacement may have failed. Prioritize just stopping paperwork.
Yes. Maybe that's what we put in the forum, is a comment here for a petition for no paperwork.
But it did really make me think. And the thing that I am getting really stuck on is that the ASX thinks about information security different to the way that every other major institution does. The government, your bank. For some reason, the ASX are tied to this idea that sending stuff to your home is more secure than your email. But no one else thinks like that. The government doesn't think like that. They're happy to send stuff to your email. Banks are happy to send stuff to your email. But at its core, the logic is wrong as well, because you change house more than you change email. Emails move with you, whether you're renting, even if you own a house, the likelihood of you selling your house and moving is higher than the likelihood of you deciding to get a new email address. Email address stays with you for life, at least when you move from the teenage Hotmail, surferdude100@hotmail.com, to the, you know, the alecrenahan@gmail.com. Your email address will not change.
Yes.
And why is it that ASX is the only institution that thinks they have to send 7 letters to confirm that you'd rather receive things by email?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But let's start it, Ren. 2023 is the year we can make it happen, because this is a frustration that everyone in the Equity Mates community shares every time you buy a stock. Well, at least
if
you're chess sponsored, yeah, you're going to get... that's another positive for not being chess sponsored. You don't cop all the email, cop all the mail.
But it blows my mind that Stake literally gave you an option. I would rather receive things by email. And it's like, it's from the ASX, it's from different registries, from different ETF providers. The weird thing was, and then some individual stocks that I hold, but not all, just some. So maybe I've got more mail coming, or different registries, or different...
US as well.
No, only Australian, because it's only chess. Yeah. But some ETF providers and some companies have sent me mail, and the ASX themselves have sent me mail, but not all ETFs that I own and not all companies that I own.
Maybe coming.
No,
tsunami,
yeah,
of paperwork.
Or maybe some registries do it better. And if that's the case, the registries that do it better, we want to celebrate you, so reach out, because this has to change.
Has to
change. This is just ridiculous.
All right. Anyway. Well, let's keep moving. But I do agree. Let's get it going if we can. Petition for no paperwork. Yeah. 2023. Equity Mates, let's make it happen. But
And I want the ASX in their sustainability report, you know, publicly listed company, they do a sustainability report. I want you to report on how many unnecessary letters you forced registries to send to the unsuspecting and unwilling public.
Nice. Well, great segue into the ASX share market game. So we've got a segment. The next segment is that the ASX share market game has closed and finished for the year. Now, we didn't play it in the second half of this year, but we have been following along and tracking some of the star performers. And the results are in. And boy, were there some amazing results coming in, not only from the winners, those that came second and third, and some of the league winners, but Ren, overall, so 9,500 participants.
Wow.
You start with 50,000. The average participant value at the end of it was 50,557, meaning that 56% of people who played finished in profit.
Wow.
Yeah. So full credit to the Aussie investors out there who, in a period of volatility and, well, we did say at the top that the ASX is up 1% year to date. It has ripped 12% in the
Not year to date.
Over the last 12 months. It's also ripped 12% since the start of October.
Yeah, it's been a good time to play the game.
So well played. But nonetheless, I thought that was a great stat to see that over 50% of people playing the game did finish in profit. Now, a massive congratulations to the winner, Alan Kay, who's player name was Kahuna from South Australia, finished with $73,854, so a profit of $23,000.
Wow.
Over the space of 15 weeks. Second place was Danielle S. Dumb Blonde was her pseudonym from Queensland, 71,532. And then third place, Emil, was 69,617. So about a $20,000 profit or more for the top three in the space of 15 weeks. Pretty amazing.
Full credit. Are you about to tell us what they invested in?
I am, but before we do that...
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Before we do that, we're going to take a very quick break to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back to deep dive into some of the holdings of these winners to see if there are any common threads.
Yeah, great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
All right, Ren, so we know the winners. We had Alan K, Danielle S, and Emil H all did incredibly well in the ASX share market game. But the big question is, what did they invest in over those 15 weeks to get a $20,000 profit or more? What do you think they invested in? It's a very Australian thing.
Coal.
Resources.
Okay.
So Kahuna was fully invested by the time the game finished.
Surely all of them.
Zero cash. No, so third place, which was...
Emil,
apologies if we're pronouncing that wrong. At the time they finished, they had 29K in cash. But it looked like, looking at trade history, that obviously sold out a bunch of their positions.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So they're only invested in two positions.
That's kind of you had a chance to win. Don't go to cash at the end.
I know.
You got defensive.
Go all in. But Kahuna Ren, first place, had seven positions: Beach Energy,
okay,
Chalice Mining, Evolution Mining, were the only three resources. And all of those were the ones that did incredibly well.
What were the other positions?
So the other positions, Costa Group,
okay,
made a profit of 600 on Costa. Net Wealth, Qantas made a $3,000 profit on Qantas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And ResMed made a tiny profit on ResMed.
Nice.
So almost 50% of portfolio was in resources.
Wait, hold on, hold on. But 50% of the portfolio was in resources, but from what you just said there, they made like $4,000 profit from the other four positions.
No, so Evolution Mining, $3,600 profit, Chalice Mining, $3,000 profit, and Beach Energy, $1,000 profit.
Oh, okay. So they must have had some other positions throughout the game.
Yeah, yeah, a few other positions throughout the game. Then we had Danielle, who was fully invested at the end of the game, Chalice Mining again, Capricorn Metals, Northern Star Resources, Perseus Mining and Sandfire Resources.
Okay.
That was it in, nice. in the portfolio at the end of the game. Made a $7,000 profit on Perseus Mining and made a $6,500 profit on Capricorn and made a $4,000 profit on Chalice.
I hope they put real money into these stocks as well.
So full credit to those that have their eye on the mining market and resources, just absolutely ripping. Evolution Mining was in the portfolio of the player that came third, Emil. And throughout the game, they also had exposure to Pilbara, New Hope and Whitehaven.
I think we...
Could it be any more Aussie?
Yeah. Probably not. Maybe some, what, coal?
Rio.
Yeah.
Fortescue. But look, the theme is, and we picked this up about 3 weeks ago when we looked at the portfolios as well, and this reminds me when I play the game, I never go in mining. It's just not in my circle of competence. It's obviously in the circle of competence of these guys.
I mean, it could be in your circle of competence.
Could be. Like, I'm not interested in it.
But that's different to circle of competence.
That's true.
You could analyze a mining company.
Yeah.
You could do a discounted cash flow on, you know, what, how much resource they think they have, what they think they'll be able to sell it out, what their costs will be, and then what their cash flow... like, mining companies, once you have that information, are very modelable.
Yeah, that's
true.
You
could do it.
Well, 2023, maybe I'm going to get back. Maybe I'm going to get into it.
Sure. Do you not own any mining companies?
I own Fortescue.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't own BHP. It's through Super. I don't own Rio Direct. My wife owns BHP. I'm in Fortescue.
Mm.
Yeah.
You guys own it together now.
We do. What's hers is mine. Anyway, so any key takeaways? I think just a massive congrats to those guys.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, I mean, mining has had a really good year because resource prices have been really high. There's been constraints in the system and manufacturers, producers have been willing to overpay to get their hands on what they need.
Yeah.
Will that continue?
I don't know.
Neither do I. But that's the million-dollar question. Billion-dollar question. You know, like iron ore, its outlook is probably looking a little weaker as China looks a little weaker. But we've been saying that for 12 months and it just keeps going. Lithium, we spoke about that for the summer series. So we do a bit on that. But, you know, the prices that they're getting are just crazy at the moment.
It is phenomenal what's going on in the lithium market.
Coal is strong. Natural gas is strong. Oil's come off a bit. You know, oil is back to where it was at the start of the year?
Yeah, he said at the top.
Oh, true, yeah. Don't you find that crazy? West Texas Intermediate was in the 70s. It's now at 80.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Is that perhaps why Qantas did so well for our winner,
so Alan? Qantas came out with a profit forecast.
Oh,
and
that's right,
and then
that's
like
right,
four right. weeks later they were like, oh, smashed we're it. Upping it.
Yeah. Right.
So oil prices probably have a bit to do with it, but I think it's more to do with rebound in travel demand.
That's just
demand.
Great management of market expectations.
Yeah, well, some would say, how did you get your forecast
so wrong?
Wrong that you had to update it 4 weeks later? Like, if a company had to update it on the downside 4 weeks later, people would be like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're trying to woolpull us here.
True.
But on the upside, people get excited. I reckon it's just that they've been hoarding all those lost bags and they're selling the stuff inside them. Allegedly.
Well, anyway, if you haven't played the game before, you're not sure what it is, it does happen twice a year. It'll kick off early next year. It's a great opportunity for you to test some strategies and get a feel for investing if you aren't invested and you want to start your investing journey. You get $50,000 in fat cash and you can trade the ASX 300, including ETFs. So, well done to those that won. And Ren, let's keep moving. We'll hit up Book Bonanza, potentially last one. I don't want to call it.
This is the second time you've said it.
It could be.
Are you getting sick of this segment?
No, but Gus is, we've got Gus joining us who is So I haven't won any this year.
I
won the first one. And then it's been dubious ever since because you don't let me answer the same questions. Oh. So.
Well, I've actually got a 5-question quiz today. Well,
we better get on with it. Let's get Gus on the line.
Okay, so we are joined by Gus. Gus, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks, boys. How are we going?
Very good. Very excited for this episode of Ren's Book Bonanza. Bryce has actually called it the last one of the year, so lucky that we got you on before Bryce killed the segment. But because he's called it the last one of the year, I actually have 5 questions rather than 3 this week, and they're all related to Australia's casinos. Because if we've learnt one thing in 2022, it's that our casino operators haven't been doing too good a job.
I thought they were really good. I thought they were making lots of money.
They were making lots of money. The Australian government would say the way that they made that money perhaps needs to be looked at. But we will get to that. Before then, Gus, the 3 books that you have to choose from today. The first one is Shareplicity 2, A Guide to Investing in the US Stock Market by Danielle Okuye. I'm holding it up to the camera if people are watching on YouTube. The second one is Good Arguments, What the Art of Debating Can Teach Us About Listening Better and Disagreeing Well by Bo Seo. He's over at Harvard, so very smart guy. Not investing related per se, but a good read. And then finally, Self-Indulgently, Get Started Investing. It's Easier Than You Think to Invest in Shares by Bryce Lesky and Alec Renahan.
Jeez, that looks good. Also available on Amazon and Booktopia, only $19 on Amazon right now.
So, Gus, they're the 3 books that you're playing for. Any that you've got your eye on?
Oh, probably the argument one.
Yes.
Great.
I have read the Equity Mates book and can attest it's fantastic.
Nice. Appreciate that.
We should put it on anyone's wish list.
Perfect Christmas present. Give the gift of financial literacy. Only $19 on Amazon. But we're not here to spruik our book. We're here to play Book Bonanza. So let's go. Crown and Star have both had very tough years. They've been raked over the coals in multiple government inquiries. Let's start with Star. This year, how many state governments found Star unfit to run casinos?
Oh, it would have been 2.
Bryce?
Yeah, I'm going to say Victoria, New South Wales, and for the sake of being different, I'm going to throw in Queensland.
Well, you know what? Gus has absolutely nailed it. The New South Wales Bell Review and Queensland Gotterton Review both found Star unfit. So, Gus, you're on the board.
No worries, thank you.
Let's turn to Crown and same question about Crown. How many state government inquiries found Crown unfit to run casinos? Gus, we'll start with you again.
I think it's going to be 1 because I don't think WA's found anything wrong.
Bryce?
3.
I do have 3, but Gus has made me question my WA inclusion. So let's just pause for a second while we look
nice,
it up.
Nice,
Gus. Nice. Well, I only think because I know that Crown only operates in Victoria and WA,
Gus, I am sorry. I've done the Googling. The Crown Royal Commission over in WA found that they were unsuitable to hold a gaming license in WA. So it is 3, Vic, New South Wales and WA. So, Bryce, you're on the board.
Hell yeah. About time.
All right. So this week, AUSTRAC filed a statement of claim against Star in the federal court outlining a number of alleged failings. This is going to be a closest to the pin question. How many pages of allegations did AUSTRAC file this week?
Oh, 317.
All right, Bryce, what are you going to say?
I'm going to say 3,900.
Oh, who's closer to the pin there? The correct answer is 2,026. Oh. But I think Gus is actually closer to the pin.
300 to 2,020.
Yeah, that's 1,700 difference. And you said 3,900. That's 1,900 difference.
How many pieces of paper was it?
2,026.
Oh, 2,000. I thought it said 2,026.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so yeah, I think Gus has got...
You're joking.
2,026 pages. That is multiple books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can't say I've read it, but I've read the AFR article about it. All right, question four. Crown, after some of these state government inquiries, was sold to a private equity giant. Which of the following did it sell to? KKR, stock ticker KKR, Carlyle Group, CG, Apollo Global, APO, or Blackstone, BX? Gus, we'll start with you.
I want to say Apollo because it sounds the dirtiest.
All right, Bryce, what are you
Blackstone.
Thinking? Blackstone. Blackstone is correct. You've nailed it there. 2-2, and it gets us to our final question. This one was tough. I'm going to be honest. I didn't know the answer to this, so I'm going to put you guys on the spot.
Okay.
Outside of Crown and Star, well, Crown's no longer listed, but Crown was listed. Outside of those two, there are four other casino stocks that I could find on the ASX. Not like Aristocrat and like poker machines and stuff like that, but casino stocks. Can you name one of them?
Outside of Crown.
And Star.
And Star, yeah.
Being I'm in Tasmania, it'd have to be something to do with Rest Point Casino.
Rest Point
Casino. But I'm not sure whether that's listed or not.
Golden oldie down there, isn't it? One of Australia's first casino.
The OG casino.
Yeah. Is it actually?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
First casino down in Tassie. Yeah. I feel like it's something about a Queensland casino.
So.
But I couldn't tell you. I couldn't
tell
you.
There is one in Queensland. Gus, I'm just doing some research on the owner of Rest Point. It looks like they're owned by a company called...
Federal Group.
Yeah, Federal Group, but it doesn't look like they're listed.
No, they're private.
Yeah. So, unfortunately not. Bryce has said there's a casino in Queensland. He is right, but I'm actually going to need the name.
Yeah, I know. It's like some... it's like a tropical name, I think.
Look, you're not wrong.
Capricorn. Yeah.
not that.
I know. I remember doing this in an industry deep dive that we did on...
Look, if neither of you have an answer, I'm going to give the point to Gus, and, which means he wins. But just for people listening and playing along at home, there were four answers. So Bryce was right. There is one in North Queensland in Cairns, Reef Casino Trust, ASX ticker RCT. There's Sky City Entertainment Group. ASX ticker SKC. They own a casino in Adelaide and I think four more in New Zealand. Then there is Aquis Entertainment Limited, ASX ticker AQS. Now, the name might be confusing, but I'm certain Bryce knows this company. They own and operate Canberra Casino.
Oh, I know it well.
Gus, have you ever been to Canberra Casino?
No, nor do I plan to.
Put it on the bucket list. It is glorious down there. And then the final, the fourth ASX-listed casino stock outside of the big two was Donaco International Limited, ASX ticker DNA. They own two casinos, one in Vietnam, one in Cambodia. So there you go. Gus, you have won our casino-themed episode of Book Bonanza. Which book would you like to take home?
I'd love to take home the one on arguing.
Great. We'll give you that. We'll also send you a book, Get Started Investing. Feel free to re-gift it to someone for Christmas.
Thank you very much.
But we appreciate you coming on and thanks for playing.
No worries. Cheers, fellas. Keep it up.
Well, Ren, there you go. Potentially the last Book Bonanza of the year. I know I keep saying it, but a great way to finish. Five questions. Did enjoy that. And a great episode. We will be back next week with plenty going on. We've got next week signals the start of the wind-up for Equity Mates.
Yeah. It's getting horizontal season. Yes. It's December.
It's December, and we have who won our stock of the year for 2022. I actually haven't looked. I honestly don't think I can remember what I picked.
I know what I picked, but let's
save that. Okay, so let's see how that goes.
So I'm gonna have to context for people, we've done this, three previous years?
Yeah.
And you've won every time?
Yes.
And not just one convincingly.
Yes. Yes. Nice. Well, I can't wait to see who wins next week. And then on Thursday, we're joined by our friends at Fidelity to talk about the big trends happening in demographics and how that translates to investment opportunities. And then, of course, we've got Bold Predictions Review, Andrew Brown to come in for his, and a crypto year in review. Plenty happening over the next 2 weeks.
So when Bryce says, oh, we're winding down and we're getting towards the end of the year, what he means is we're going to be pumping out heaps of content. Stay tuned. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe or follow wherever you're listening so you don't miss an episode, because this is going to be a lot of fun.
Love it. Well, we'll leave it there, Ren. Pick it up next week.
Sounds good.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.